Good morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll discuss Thinking the Unthinkable, Surviving Nuclear War. I'm Joan Ziemba for George Mason University. The old phrase from the 50s, we'd rather be dead than red, has had its day. We'd actually rather be neither. As the current administration threatens to push us closer to the edge of nuclear war, more and more of the discussions center around civil defense. Recently, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the agency responsible for implementing a national civil defense program in the event of nuclear attack, revealed a new program which would transplant citizens from 380 high-risk or high-density urban areas to a number of host or rural areas throughout the country. For the plan to work, we would need at least a week's advance notice of attack. This plan would also then have to be translated at the local civil defense level to ensure an organized and orderly evacuation. With us today to discuss the area's civil defense plans and the need for stronger civil defense are Chris Anderson, Deputy Coordinator for Emergency Services in Fairfax County, and Robert Ehrlich, Chairman of the Physics Department at George Mason University. According to studies, if a modest 1 megaton nuclear bomb were dropped in Washington, D.C., 600,000 people could be killed and 800,000 people injured. Chris, if we knew the attack were coming, what type of plans are there for the citizens of Fairfax County?
The type of civil defense plans that have been made in the past have centered on the development of fallout shelter lists and very sketchy development of a crisis relocation plan. Obviously, the type of information that we would try to put out to citizens would depend on the amount of lead time that we had. I think if we had an hour or less of warning, we probably would use the emergency broadcast system to make people aware that they should go to whatever fallout shelters or basements that they could get into, although that probably would not provide any protection from blast. If we had several days, we might try to go into a crisis relocation or evacuation mode. However, the details of that type of plan have not been worked out yet and probably will not be for the next year.
First, I'd like to add that a 1 megaton bomb is not quite so modest as you indicated. Its yield would be roughly 80 times the yield of the Hiroshima bomb. However, one should not conclude from that the radius of destruction would be 80 times as much. It would actually be only roughly 4 times as much, or between 4 and 5 miles. At that distance, someone would have roughly 50% chance of surviving the blast. The likelihood of a war involving one megaton bomb on Washington, D.C. and nothing elsewhere is, of course, extremely remote. Uh-huh. If one had such an attack, one would actually be able to walk away from the ground zero given a reasonable amount of time. So that's not a particularly plausible scenario.
What are the effects of the president's new plan in this area?
Well, of course, the president has proposed greatly increasing the civil defense budget, and that has not been passed yet. We don't know exactly how much money would be coming down if all of his proposals went through. I gather from conversations with those who are in the know that a certain percentage of the money is going to be spent on education, both of the public and of people that are in the civil defense field currently. But none of that money is to be allocated for example, developing fallout shelters or shelters that would provide any protection from blast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's answering your question or not, but we really don't know at this point in time what the effects are going to be. I would say we'd probably have much more clearly defined crisis relocation plans, but in terms of actual protection for citizens if they do not relocate, I'm not sure what the effects would be.
Okay, Bob, you've recently submitted a paper to the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists urging the United States to expand its civil defense effort. How would an expanded civil defense effort be a deterrent to a nuclear war, rather than, as some suspect, it would support the theories that a limited nuclear war is survivable or winnable?
Well, I think the civil defense effort would have to be accompanied by a very extensive public education campaign, which would let people know just how horrible a nuclear war would be, and not create the illusion that things can be controlled and that with great assurance that they would survive. Undoubtedly, if a nuclear war occurs, there would be fantastic destruction beyond anything in recorded human history. On the other hand, civil defense, according to many studies that have been done, would save many lives. As to the point you raised, that's a very interesting one, whether it would have the effect of making nuclear war more or less likely. There has been quite a bit of debate on this, but the fact of the matter is that the Soviet Union has a very extensive civil defense effort. They spend roughly 20 times what we do. They have roughly 100,000 people trained and involved in this effort. Soviet citizens know where they are supposed to relocate to in the event of a crisis. And the point is, it is possible that if we came to a very severe international crisis, if the Soviets should, for example, carry through on their plan and attempt to evacuate their cities, if we have no plan in the United States, we would be faced with a number of very difficult alternatives, none of which are attractive. And the only one which seems to me to have any hope of averting the ultimate catastrophe would be for us to carry out a similar evacuation of our cities and to have the president get on the hotline and try to cool things down. But failing that, it is quite possible that there would be a significant temptation on the part of the U.S. administration to strike first, while the Soviet evacuation is in progress, in order to be able to inflict a comparable level of damage on the Soviet Union as they would be able to inflict on us. So in that sense, this crisis stability matter, in that sense, I think a civil defense plan can add to deterrence. Moreover, on the question of whether there would be adequate warning time, which I know is not a question that you've addressed, this, of course, is not at all clear. There are possible scenarios, such as the one I just mentioned, the Soviets evacuating their cities, where that itself would give us adequate warning time. Moreover, there are other conceivable situations, for example, the kind of attack that has been talked about a great deal by analysts, where the Soviets would launch an attack on our military forces, including the land-based missiles, which might come out of the blue, and there'd be no warning time in that sense. However, there'd be a considerable amount of warning time in terms of the fallout drifting from the ICBM fields over distant populated areas, and allowing, therefore, evacuations to take place. And having a civil defense plan in such an attack would make a very dramatic difference in the number of casualties.
Would there be possibly contingency plans to that? That perhaps the major plan would be if we are given 5 days warning, a contingency plan being if we only have 2 days warning,
or
if we only have 24 hours warning.
I think that should definitely be part of any civil defense plan that is drawn up, because there is such an uncertainty about exactly what's going to happen. I don't think any of us would know that until such time as there was a war declared or whatever the first signal is going to be. So I think that you have to have backup plans. Now, the other part of that is that no matter how many plans you have, you can't guarantee that they're going to work. But I think the point of civil defense is to do the best job that you can with the information and the time that you have and the resources in the hope that you will save the greatest number of lives.
I was going to add that this is quite important. No one pretends that civil defense is going to work for sure. It's a hedge, really. It's not a plan. We don't even know for sure if our society will survive if there is an all-out nuclear attack. But the question is, do you want to do things beforehand that would make that survival more likely? And by the way, on the warning time business, as I said before, there are certain kinds of attacks, such as the attack on land-based missiles and military targets, where even with zero warning, very, very many lives would be saved, because you could get people out of the way of drifting fallout clouds if they are remote from the point of the attack.
How effective can any national civil defense program be, ours or the Soviets, but a system that has to rely on precise communication and organization in what presumably will be a time of panic in terms of the general citizenry? How can this be organized without a practice drill, without a dry run?
Well, less important, I think, or more important, I should say, than a practice drill is extensive public education ahead of time. I think people in a crisis situation, if they believe that they can believe what they are being told, and if they are reasonably informed, will follow instructions. On the other hand, if people are totally in the dark ahead of time, haven't a clue as to whether what they're being told is just to calm them or to actually save lives, then that is, of course, a much more dangerous situation. So that's why I said before, it's very important to have a public education campaign as well as make civil defense efforts. There are, of course, technical questions about the ability to communicate, particularly involving so-called electromagnetic pulse, which results if the Soviets were to detonate even a small number of nuclear blasts at high altitude, which could, in principle, knock out most of the electronic communications in the country. Whether or not the communications would survive and to what extent is a matter of conjecture. Some of this material is classified. But there certainly are technical questions on the ability to communicate with the citizenry.
But there also would be the local programs. Even if the national communication were knocked out, local program leaders would then assume the responsibility, I guess, of keeping order and maintaining some sense of organization.
Well, I think if there was a bomb that actually dropped, the local governments would have just as much problem communicating as the national organizations, and probably more so. I think probably the military has some protection from electromagnetic pulse that we probably don't know all the details on. But the local governments, for the large part, have no protection at all. So that would definitely be a problem in communicating not only among the different rescue operation personnel, but also in terms of communication with the public. So that's something I think that if the FEMA budget is increased by the $253 million that I think is proposed, I would hope that a good percentage of that money might be spent on beefing up the actual protection from electromagnetic pulse.
I'd like to address two other issues concerned with survival after a nuclear attack as to whether a civil defense program can make any difference at all. I think there have been a lot of things said about the deaths from fallout following an attack, some of which are not quite accurate. If the population is able to avoid death and blast and is able to relocate, and if there is time, then the fact of the matter is that we do know how to protect ourselves against fallout. That is not an exceptionally difficult thing to do. Even an average home basement offers a protection factor of on the order of 10 or 20 or so against fallout. And fallout does decay with time. After the end of 2 weeks, it's down to 1/1000th its initial level. In many areas of the country, after only 2 days in fallout shelters, people would be able to come out into the environment.
Suffering no side effects from that 1/1000th?
Well, there are long-term hazards of radiation, as you know. Their lifespan might be shortened, but in terms of severe radiation sickness or death, in most areas of the country, they would be able to come out after a relatively few days. Also, I'd like to address another issue, that is ultimate survival of the society. Some people have said that the chances of ultimate survival might actually be better if there are fewer people around following a nuclear attack competing for scarce resources. I think that's a pretty horrible argument to advance against civil defense. I honestly don't know whether it would be true or not. But it seems to me that it's much better to try to preserve as much life as possible with the understanding that we are not in any sense guaranteeing survival afterwards. This is a complete unknown. but that we would make whatever chance exists a little bit better for whoever the survivors happen to be.
Well, let's hope this is a drama that we won't have to act out anytime soon. I'm afraid we're out of time. I'd like to thank Chris Anderson and Bob Ehrlich for being with us today. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Joan Ziemba for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening. Good morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll discuss thinking the unthinkable, surviving nuclear war. The old phrase from the 50s, I blew it. My fault. Good morning, and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll discuss Thinking the Unthinkable, Surviving Nuclear War. I'm Joan Ziemba for George Mason University. The old phrase from the 50s, we'd rather be dead than red, has had its day. We'd actually rather be neither. As the current administration threatens to push us closer to the edge of nuclear war, more and more the discussions center around civil defense. Recently, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the agency responsible for implementing a national civil defense program in the event of nuclear attack, revealed a new program which would transplant citizens from 380 high-risk or high-density urban areas to a number of host or rural areas throughout the country. For the plan to work, we would need at least 1 week's advance notice of the attack. This plan would also then have to be translated at the local civil defense level to ensure an organized and orderly evacuation. With us today to discuss the area's civil defense plans and the need for stronger civil defense are Chris Anderson, Deputy Coordinator for Emergency Services in Fairfax County, and Robert Ehrlich, Chairman of the Physics Department at George Mason University.